Welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. I've been thinking a lot lately about why I bake. Yes, as you've been listening to my episodes, I'm always telling you, like, there's passion, there's a past, there's history, and all those are true. But when you've been doing something for a certain amount of time, the passion can fade. You know, it comes and it goes. And what I've been thinking lately is it's not so much about passion. I mean, yes, you should love what you do, but that love is not always 100%, you know? And now on my quest for my journey to better myself physically and seeing all these doctors and taking advantage of the insurance, I've just been thinking a lot, like, what have I been doing these last 15 years in the industry? And yes, I do enjoy baking. Obviously, I can't even go a day without doing it. Not because I have to. Sometimes that is true. But I've been selling quite a decent amount at the farmer's market. And I like to create new things every week. You know, I bring my staples, but then I add one or two extra creations. My regulars like it. They like to see what I have this week, you know, but it's not so much, I think, about passion, but more about curiosity. We should never stop learning, right? Like, life is about learning and new things and taking on new things. And it's when we get that feeling inside, you know, that kind of trembling in your stomach, that like tickling, you know, like kind of nervous, kind of excited. Usually this happens when you start something new. Like, those things are important. It's important to always take on new things and discover new things. In my opinion, I believe that's what life is like. And if you stop having those moments, if you stop feeling that tingling and that adrenaline, like, I feel like that's when you start to die. Not your whole body, but like slowly. You know, it's about finding those new things that keep us curious. I'm never bored with baking. You know, I can't say I ever feel bored, but I just haven't felt as excited lately. You know, I've been doing it for so long, and it's just something that I do, you know, but I'm seeing the effects on my body physically. Like, I have my hand physical therapy, I have my back physical therapy. I've been seeing this vein doctor. I don't think he's called a vein doctor. What is he called? Like, varicose? No, that's even worse. Like, varicose vein doctor. He's a vein specialist. I thought there was another word, but I saw him yesterday, and from all the standing over the years, I have, like, not cute legs. I can't say I've ever really had cute legs. You know, some people, they just have amazing legs. I'm not one of those people. And standing for my whole life as I've been working hasn't made it any better. You know, I have more spider veins. I do have some varicose veins. They're not crazy. I wouldn't say I'm one of those people that has, like, pretty legs. I went to see a specialist to see, is there anything that can be done? You know, and he suggests wearing compression socks. And I've heard this a few times, you know, and I actually have a pair. He suggested between 20 to 30 in strength. I don't know what that means, but it tightens it more, so that you're less likely to get more veins, more spider veins, or more pressure in your varicose veins. The thing with your veins, you have veins on the inside of your leg and veins kind of in the center of your leg. The veins in the center of your leg are your main veins. And then the veins on the side, like, I guess they're not as important. The doctor was saying that usually the side veins get blockages based upon your lifestyle or genetics. And in the past, they would take the side veins out. And he was saying it has no effect on your main veins in the middle of your leg. Which I don't think is quite true, because you're given these things for a reason. You know, it's like when doctors say you have two kidneys, you know, and you don't need one of them. I mean, I'm sure there's a reason, you know, but he's saying in the past they would take out these side veins of your leg. And I said, well, doesn't that add more like pressure on your main veins? And he said, yes, but it hasn't caused any issues. So you have veins where the blood goes down and then veins where the blood goes up. And sometimes those veins start to like get blocked. They kind of tighten. Nowadays, instead of taking the veins out, they go in with a stent, which is like a little, I guess like a, I don't know how to describe it, but it has like a little metal encasing around it to strengthen the vein. Like he even said that when you have heart issues, they take veins from the side of your leg and they replace them with the veins around your heart. So it's very interesting, you know. So I was talking to him about this, and basically I'm getting more spider veins, and he's saying there's not much you can do about them, of course, right? But he does give injections, and it's $600 for 1 hour. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, of course it is. He's like, but your legs aren't too bad, which was very nice of him to say. So it'll probably be $300, but this is not covered by insurance because it's, he's saying, not a necessity. You know, it's more because of the looks, right? So when things are just for looks, it's not covered by insurance. So he's saying they give injections for the spider veins and they go away, but sometimes they come back or other veins start coming up instead. Anyway, so again, I'm going off on my doctor visits, but my point is I'm looking back at the last 15 years and I actually saw this picture lately. If when I was just in culinary school and toward the end of my degree, like my diploma, part of my diploma, I decided to travel internationally and study there for like 5 weeks. And I went to Italy. And I remember at that point, I just had so much drive, you know, and sometimes my drive comes and goes. Like it's not 100% always. There's other things I want to do. Like right now, do I want to be pastry chef? No, not really. Do I want to keep being a pastry cook? Not really. You know, it's not that I don't mind it, like I don't mind it, but it's hard for me to be a pastry cook because it's someone else's vision. Like I'm used to these desserts, these displays, they're being my vision and it's just easy. You know, I know what I'm doing. I know what the main goal is. It's different when you're working for a chef and he has a different vision. You know, obviously I'm not trying to take over or anything like that, but sometimes it's hard to complete tasks if you don't know the finished vision, you know, and or at least it's felt a bit harder like that for me. Because I might like to decorate things a certain way, but he wants it done a different way, you know, and that's just like different chefs, you know, which is fine. But I just find lately that I'm just less passionate about it. I wouldn't say it's a midlife crisis, because I kind of feel like I already had that when I was like 32, when I left my ex, you know, I had this like total collapse. But now I just feel like professionally, what am I doing? I have been auditioning more for voiceover commercials. I did this one for Alzheimer's, kind of random. You know, it's fine. I also did this one for Arm & Hammer. I'm finding more curiosity for voiceover acting. Like, that's never gone away. That's always been something I've loved to do and I've been passionate about and curious about. The story hasn't changed where I'm looking for a blend of baking, voiceover, you know, and that's kind of what this podcast is. I mean, it's just the stories about my everyday life. which again, you know, I have more stories. And happy Valentine's Day. I know it's belated when you hear it, but today is Valentine's Day. Yesterday, I went out with my husband. We went to have dinner at this restaurant called Farmer's Table, which was very nice, very rustic. Like the walls were wooden, you know, some wooden walls, some tiled walls. We got a Caesar salad. I got this pasta carbonara, and my husband got chicken parmesan, which now after his whole Listeria episode, he hasn't eaten beef, which is pretty crazy because, as you know, he's one of the people that eats the most beef I've ever seen. So let me just talk about the carbonara. Carbonara isn't just carbonara in my mind because, and I was talking about this last night, when I worked in Italy, I remember it was my birthday and I was working at a small family restaurant and we made fresh pasta, which I also made last night here at home. I just had this craving for fresh pasta. So in Italy, we made fresh pasta daily. The host, she made the carbonara. And carbonara is, there's some cream, there's egg yolks, there's Parmesan cheese and pancetta. But the thing is, you can't overcook it because otherwise the egg yolk scrambles. You know, you get a scrambled egg. But you mix the egg in with the cream and you can add a little bit of like pasta water to thicken it if you need to, like thin it out a bit because it can get pretty thick fast. You heat the pancetta, you mix in the pasta and then the sauce at the end. You know, and not everything can be super hot because it'll scramble. But as you mix in the egg yolk with the cream, you're constantly mixing, mixing, mixing. So nothing scrambles and it has to be very smooth and it's an art. And you can't just heat it up because otherwise it won't be smooth. I had the most amazing pasta in Italy with this delicious carbonara sauce. Kind of that's what I was thinking when I thought carbonara. But what I got wasn't that. It was more cream than egg yolk of what I noticed. You know, it was good, but it wasn't what I had in Italy. And so it's like nothing can kind of pair up to that. You know, when you've had something so good and in your mind, it's like this fantasy, you know, and everything you have is kind of disappointing after it. And that's what I think sometimes about children's things, like memories that I have of when I've eaten as a child. And then I try that same thing later, like now as an adult. And it's terrible, like absolutely terrible. Like, is our mind just making these false imaginations? You know, and I think, oh, they must have changed the product. It can't be the same product. But I swear, this pasta in Italy was like up there. And the thing is, when you make your own pasta, like I made it last night, very, very simple. It's just 2 cups of AP flour, 3 eggs, which now are like a delicacy, like finding eggs. I went to Costco the other day. They open at 10 a.m. I was there at 10:30. I go back to get eggs, all gone. All gone. You know, now it's like this crazy thing to get eggs. So I have to count eggs and ration them for everything that I need. It's like you can't waste an egg. But I made this fresh pasta. So again, 2 cups AP flour, 3 eggs, a teaspoon of salt. I added some fresh pepper and a little bit of water if it like gets too dry. It has to be damp, not dry. Like the whole mixture has to be smooth. You don't want it falling apart, but you also don't want it too wet. So if it's too wet, you add a little bit more flour. And I just put it with the paddle in the mixer, you know, in the KitchenAid. And then it has to rest for like 20, 30 minutes. And then I have this pasta attachment, which first I thin out the dough and then I put it through and make a fettuccine. It's so good. Have you noticed that when you make things yourself, it's easier to digest? Like, it's not so heavy. You know, you think of pasta as something heavy, but it wasn't. I made it myself and it was so easy to digest. And this is like the main difference. When we went out for dinner, we were so full. It's like we couldn't do anything after. We just like ate and then maybe watch TV. I don't know. But when you eat pasta out, it's so heavy. But when I made it myself, completely different. Not heavy at all. And I made this tomato sauce with it, with broccoli, mushrooms. I put a little chicken in there because beef is off the table. Nothing beef right now because of the listeria from the last episode. You know, and now in the last like 2-3 weeks, he hasn't eaten any beef, which is pretty crazy. So he was definitely pretty traumatized with that whole experience. And now he's just eating a lot of chicken. But the dinner was lovely. He got me these beautiful flowers with roses and lilies. And I love lilies. They smell amazing. I got him a new water bottle, which doesn't sound like romantic, but he uses a gallon bottle, you know, from the grocery store, just any plastic bottle. And he did have a different one, but it broke. So I got him a replacement. Anyway, I got him that. I made him a flan, like a Brazilian flan, which is, you know, like any other flan. And I shaped it into a heart, you know. So we did like something small like that. You know, this is actually our first Valentine's together because last February, I wasn't even living here and I was still working at the hotel. And I've almost been here a year, which is kind of crazy. Like, the time has gone by very quickly, and I'm thinking, like, have I made a lot of strides? Maybe. I don't know. I'm still in this phase where I'm discovering my next step. And right now, I'm just working to, you know, pay the bills. It's not that I'm not enjoying my hotel job. Like, I am, you know, and it's a good job. But I know it's not a permanent thing. I just have that feeling. I did get a couple of substitute classes for the college, and I have to go there next week so that the teacher can show me what I'll be substituting and just the whole program for the class. So far I have 3 substitute shifts, which is great. I'm excited about that. I am looking to visit my dad in Arizona for a few days just to, you know, say hi and spend some time with him. It's already February. And by the time you hear this, it'll almost be March. I mean, the year just started, but it's flying by. And I just feel like time is so fleeting. You know, and when I look at these pictures from like 15 years ago, I'm like, I don't feel like it's been 15 years. I remember each step. I remember each job. And it's definitely been a long road. And every couple years I've moved and I'm just tired. Like, I'm just tired. Is that an acceptable answer? You know, and now I'm just figuring out what the next thing is. And I think that's so hard. I just feel like I'm kind of in limbo. But I'm trying not to stress because there's nothing I can do about it at this point except for what I've been doing, you know? I am doing 2 farmers markets. I'm selling well. And yes, I did start that this year. That's something I've never done before. And I've learned a lot from it. But I also know that's also not a permanent thing. I'd love to have like a little storefront. But then the thing with having a storefront is, you know, you have to be there 24/7 and it's your own business. You can't just leave, you know, so that's another thing. Like, I'm thinking, do I really want that? And I'm kind of going down all these roads being like, what is it that I really want to do? I saw this about being curious. Let me read it to you. Choose curiosity over fear in the path of life, not passion. Because we are not passionate every day, but we can be curious every day. So maybe one day you're not feeling it. You know, you just go along with everything you need to do. Just think about that one thing that maybe you haven't learned yet and you'd be excited to learn about. You know, if there's just one angle that you might like to know more about in your job, then go with that. You know, that's going to like brighten our day a little bit more. And I kind of feel the same way. You know, I'm always open to learning new things. I'm always ready to do something new. And then once you've done that, the day is a little bit brighter, right? Like it feels a little bit more exciting, to me at least. So I feel like if you're tired of your day-to-day, like go with that. Or even if it's not at your job, find something after work that you might be excited about. Our 1-year anniversary is coming up at the end of April for our wedding day. Initially, we thought, or I thought, maybe we would have a 1-year kind of party with friends and family. But I feel like that's probably not going to happen. And I'd honestly just rather go on a vacation because I love to travel. So I went on Expedia and I saw these really good packages, like all over the world. But I thought, let's just go somewhere for a few days over our anniversary. And I saw this package from Mexico for Cabo San Lucas. And it's an all-inclusive, like adults-only resort. It's a Riu resort, R-I-U. We booked it and we're going to fly there. It's a 2-hour flight from San Diego. And it's just like a small trip, like 4 nights, you know, hanging out at the beach, doing everything at the hotel that there is to do. There's over, I think they said 600 rooms. Like it's a pretty large resort, but they have everything in there. You know, like 6 pools, 6 restaurants, I think a nightclub, like all these things. So that's what we're going to do for our 1 year. But I love having something to look forward to. It's not like that life isn't exciting. Sure, it can be. But just having a trip to look forward to, like, I love that feeling. You know, like just having something small that is out of your norm, I think is the best thing you can do for yourself or, you know, your family. I did have the last 3 days off. It's been a little slow at the hotel, but it's not like I feel as if I've been off because I've been so busy. Like the last few days, I've been going to the gym. I did my body pump, I went swimming, and the swimming has been really nice. You know, but I wanted to go kayaking, but the last 3 days, it's been raining a lot. And the weather has been coming through California from Hawaii. It's called the Pineapple Express. I guess this happens every year. And it's for like a few days where it's just rain. And it's pretty much the only rain we get all year. So there's been a lot of rain, but then also flooding issues, not where I am, but typically like downtown and places like that. I've just been baking for the market. I made an apple strudel. I buy the phyllo dough. It's easy, you know, and it still tastes really good. And again, I'm selling each item for $5, so it's not a huge amount. I haven't raised my prices, even though everything else is going up, like the price of eggs and dairy and all this. But I feel like at this point, it's still okay. I want to make a marzipan blueberry cake because some people came back and they asked for it. So I'll do that again. I made strawberry bars yesterday, which are selling really well. You know, so I'm selling the items. And at this point, I'm glad I have the market just for some extra side money. But last week I went and it started raining. Like the event started off really well. People bought a lot and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a great night. But then it started drizzling, like not even full on raining, and it became dead. You know, like everybody just left. Luckily, I did still make like a decent amount, you know, but it would have been better had it not rained, obviously. So the thing in California is it never really rains. So when it does rain, people can't drive, people stop going out, and that's just how it is. So I've just been doing stuff the last 3 days that had to be done. You know, I had a market. Oh, and then after the market, usually finishes at about 8. I got everything loaded into my car. It was like 8:40. And I thought, let me go to the storage at night so that the next morning I don't have to go. and put my stuff back, you know, because now on Wednesdays I have a hand physical therapy. Basically, you move your hands around and it helps your carpal tunnel. But they give you like this paraffin wax that you put your hand into, which heats everything from the inside. They do this hand massage. Like, it's a really good therapy, and it really helps my hands. But with every physical therapy, you have to do exercises at home. And sometimes that's a bit challenging for me because once I'm at home, I'm doing all these other things. I went to storage. I didn't see what time it was, but I put my code in and the gate opened. I'm parking. I put all my stuff out that I need to put back into storage. I put my code into the door and it doesn't open. It says access denied. And I do it again, and then I realize, oh, it's probably locked for the night. Like, it closes at 9. I thought it maybe closed at 10. Then I tried the code on the main gate, and it said access denied. So I couldn't even exit. I called the 1-800 number for emergencies, and nobody answered. Luckily, my husband was home and still awake, and he picked me up from the storage, but I had to leave my car there. And I'm thinking, what the hell? Like, this is not ideal, you know? And I had to load everything back into my car and go back the next morning and put everything into storage, you know? So he picked me up and then dropped me off. I mean, our storage is very close to our apartment, but it was still very inconvenient. And then last week for the Super Bowl, I had to work and I don't really care about the Super Bowl. And I said to my husband, why don't you meet me after work? And we walk around the beach a little bit and I'll show you the hotel because I've been working there since last June and he hasn't seen the property yet. You know, he had no idea where I've been working. So he did show up. He got an Uber there and I showed him the hotel and he was really impressed. Like, he had no idea how big it was. And it's a beautiful hotel. The Hotel del Coronado is beautiful. It's very vintage. It was built in the 1800s. And it still has a lot of that old style, you know, and it's really beautiful. So after that, we decided to eat at Red Lobster. We wanted to eat at the hotel, but everything was busy because of the Super Bowl. So we ended up going to Red Lobster, which I actually don't mind. We had this like shrimp platter. It was really good. Yes, it's a chain, but honestly, chains remind me of my mom. Like, she loved chains. She loved IHOP. She'd always say International House of Pancakes because that was the original name. She loved Olive Garden. She liked Red Lobster. She preferred Olive Garden. And she would always bring up these chains that we would go to and have lunch. Every time I go to these chains, I think of my mom, you know, and eating with her for lunch. And then we got home and I had ordered a package. But then when I get to the door, like, I have an app, the Amazon app, and it tells me when something's arrived. Like, it showed me a picture that this package had arrived. I get to the door and it's not there. And the past month, I've had 3 packages stolen. Also, a car in our neighborhood has been broken into. And all of this has started happening the past month, you know, so it's a little concerning. It is a city. Like, I do live in a city. As far as the package goes, I order enough things that there wasn't an issue for them to remail it. But I went ahead and ordered a Ring, you know, one of those like cameras, which tells you when someone's at the door. But the thing is, the wall outside of our door is stucco. So when my husband put on the back plate of the Ring, it's uneven, so I can't hook the camera on there because someone can just go ahead and take it off. You know, it's stupid. So I need to flatten the wall to make it flat so that the camera stays on and that you can't take it off. But I got it thinking, you know, having a Ring camera, does that deter someone from taking it? I mean, in the end, they can still take it, you know, and then you just have this footage, I guess, that you could give to the police. I don't know. Someone also said that I should get a camera for when I'm driving, you know, so that I guess nowadays people if you get into a car crash or something happens, people just drive away because a lot of people don't have insurance. You may not get your claim covered, you know, if the other driver just drives away. Like a dash cam, right? I think that's what it's called. So someone said I should get that too. And I'm like, ugh, like what's happening? You know, everything's getting more expensive, right? Like that's what it looks like. It's happening. People are making less money. And then crime goes up, which is the norm. I want to talk about, it's called 20 sentences I wish I'd read sooner in life. Okay, number one, action is the antidote to anxiety. If you think about it, it's true. You can think and think and think as much about it as you want and have anxiety, or you just go ahead and do it. And then maybe it's not even as bad as you think it is. Number two, you get 4,000 weeks if you're lucky. Stop waiting. You know, I agree with this because for me, it's like, just plan something now. Do it now. You know, I'm all about that. Number three, notice the people who bring out your favorite version of yourself. Number four, you teach people how to treat you by what you tolerate. That's true. You know, if you don't like something, but you don't let that person know, and they keep doing it, growth happens when you do things you feel unqualified to do, which is what I was talking about. If you find something new to do, if you find new things to be curious about, then that's how you're going to keep growing and keep learning. The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek. Okay? If you don't schedule your priorities, someone else will. True. The most dangerous addiction is the approval of other people. Yes, that's true. And also difficult because not everyone is always going to love the same thing. Number nine, burnout happens when you treat rest as a reward rather than a right. That's totally up my alley because I have a hard time resting. For me, swimming is like, oh, I treated myself, like I rested, but I didn't. I was exercising, you know? And like today I have time and I'm like, oh, let me record. Like again, I wouldn't say I'm resting, you know? So I'm really bad at that and I do get burned out really easily. You'll never regret investing in your health, learning, or relationships. Okay, that was number 10. Number 11, normalize not having an opinion on things you aren't informed on. Okay, that's true. And I would say that about politics because there's so many things going on. I don't even know what's going on anymore. The only person who's going to magically show up to save you is you. I feel like I should repeat that. The only person who's going to magically show up to save you is you. Wow. That's pretty deep if you think about that. You know, we're always really good at looking to others to help, or if something bad happens to us, we're like, why me? You know, but in the end, you have to figure things out, right? Like, you have to know what you want, what the next stage is, what the next thing is. And that's currently what I'm figuring out, you know? Or if you're not feeling well, if things are bad, you have to figure it out, right? It's up to you. And I feel like all of this kind of blends in. The action is that you have to do it. Your habits are the silent architects of your life. That's true. Number 14, discipline is choosing what you want most over what you want now. I have a really hard time with that. I want a lot of things. I want a lot of things now, but that's not going to happen. Number 15, the people who matter won't leave you for having boundaries. That's true. And if they do, then they weren't your friends to begin with. 16, your worth isn't tied to your productivity. I feel like that's really hard for me because I feel like the more I do shows, oh, I'm being proactive. I'm being productive. You know, like I'm a good person or I do good things. Like when I was out of a job or looking for a job, I felt so like, what am I doing? You know, I felt down on myself. And I guess that's really hard, you know? Your worth isn't tied to your productivity. Number 17, reach out to people just because they crossed your mind. True. 18, not everything requires your reaction. Silence is a response too. Sometimes silence is a worse response. 19, action creates motivation, not the other way around. I agree with that. 20, you can literally change your life any day. You can wake up tomorrow and decide that you want something different. Wow. That is so true. There's so many moments that I've had this, but usually I've thought about this after something negative happened, you know? Like if something bad happens and you're like, no, I don't want this, you know? I can change it. And I feel like I've done that a few times in my life. And it's always led to good things, you know? So what I'm saying is it's up to you. It's up to all of us individually. We can only be the best that we can be if we're motivated, if we have this bigger picture. You know, you may not know what it is. Like, I don't know what it is. That's my next step. Like, I know the things that I love and that I enjoy, but I don't know what it can lead to at this point. So I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, but keep an open mind. And that's all you can do. I'm applying more to like acting websites and roles and things like that. And you never know, right? Like you never know. So just because things aren't looking great right now, or just because you may not know what you want to do next, or you're unsatisfied or something's feeling off, that's okay. Sometimes we need those moments to figure out the next kind of ramp, you know, the next ramp that takes us up to the next level. Like, we always need those pauses because then that lines up the motivation for the next step. And sometimes those times are hard because you just feel like maybe lazy or indifferent or sad. You know, we're always changing. Like, we're alive. We're human. You know, we have so many emotions in us, so many experiences from our whole life, right? Like, we are this bundle of everything we've experienced, everything we've felt, all these people in our lives that have influenced us in some ways, and we're just trying to make things work. You know, if you look at somebody and they look like they've got it all together, probably one area of their life isn't. Like, nobody has everything 100% together. And it's okay. And I think it's even better to talk about these things, or, you know, even to talk about it with like psychiatrist, or just, it's okay. It's healthy to talk about your feelings, because only then can you maybe get to that next step that you have somehow been trying to get to. I don't know if any of that has really made sense or you felt helped in some way. Again, you know, I'm just talking about my experiences and how I'm kind of feeling in limbo. I try to fill my weeks with something I enjoy, you know, which for me is swimming or body pump or kayaking. Like, it's good to have these other things, to take the time to do things that calm you and to center you. You know, we all have stressful days and we all need some kind of release, and whatever that is for you. You know, but don't be hard on yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Like, I'm really good at beating myself up. But in the big picture, what happened that you felt like you did badly on, or it probably isn't even a major thing. You know, and then the next week you probably forgot about what it actually was that you did. You know, look forward, be positive, and just be curious. Be curious about something different. right? Like maybe there's a different class at the gym that you've been wanting to try. Maybe there's like a different hobby that you've been wanting to try. Or maybe just going outside and walking for 20 minutes. You know, who knows who you'll meet or what ideas you'll have. Anything out of the ordinary is positive. Thank you for listening to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. Until next time.